Welcome to Torati Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanalei Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shoftim Perek Ches, Chapter 8. We have pretty much finished the major war of Gideon against Midian and the allies. At the end of the war, towards the end of the war, he has called upon Shevet Ephraim, who were not involved from the beginning of the war, and he says to them, please chase after, there's two ministers, there's two generals running away. Their names are Orev and Ze'ev. Please capture them, and they do. But now the people of Ephraim are coming with a serious complaint in Pasuk Aleph. Vayemru Elav Ish Ephraim, the people of Ephraim said to him, Ma davar hazeh asisa lanu? What is this thing that you have done to us? Levilti kreis lanu ki halachta leilachem b'midyan. Why didn't you call us when you initially went to fight Midian? Vayirivun itay b'chazka. And they fought with him, and it was a serious fight. They asked, how could you not call us at the beginning of the campaign? And Gideon calms them down immediately with words of humility. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Vayomer aleihem, me'asisi atakachem. Have I done anything that compares to what you have done? What have I accomplished compared to you? Haloi toiv oilalois Ephraim miftzir Aviezer. The oilalois of Ephraim, the oilalois are the very end of the harvest of the grapes. After most of it is taken in, you have something called the oilalois, the leftovers. And he's saying, the leftovers of Ephraim, of you, is far more significant than miftzir Aviezer, from the main harvest of Aviezer. Aviezer is the family of Gideon. He says, you did much more than me. And in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, we see that it pretty much works. Az rafsa rucha me'alav bedabrei hadavar hazeh. When he said this to them, he was able to calm them down. He still doesn't explain himself, but it did stop the fight. There was a real danger here. Gideon needs unity. And what he's saying is not entirely true, meaning Gideon has killed 120,000 men of Midian. He's destroyed their entire foundation. And he's telling them, you know, you killed two generals, and that was more important. But we see that the right words spoken in a smart way at the right time can really, really make a difference. And now he's coming with his tiny little army to finish off the war. We still have the kings of Midian who have not been captured yet. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. He gets to a city called Sukkos. He is now on the other side of the Yarden. And he says to the people of Sukkos, Tnu na kikros lechem la'am asher baraglai. Can you please give some food, some bread, to the soldiers that I have with me? Ki ayefim heim. They are exhausted. We've been working very hard. Va'anachi rodef acharei zevach v'tzalmuna malchei Midyan. And we haven't finished our fight yet. I'm still running after Zevach and Talmunah, who are the kings of Midian. He's asking the people for some chesed, some tzedakah. These are your brothers. Can you give them some food? The sarim, the ministers of Sukkos, come with a claim. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Vayomer sarei Sukkos, in a mocking way. Hakaf Zevach v'Talmunah atabi yadecha? Are you going to tell me that you already have Zevach and Talmunah in your hands? Ki nitein litzivacha lechem, that we should give to your army bread? We should endanger ourselves? We live here on this side of the Yarden. If there's going to be trouble, it's going to come to us first. Why should we give your people bread? Now, it could be that the Sarim had some sort of claim, but the people certainly didn't have a claim. They should have given food to the army of Gideon. Gideon is coming to save them. Why aren't you helping? And he gets very angry at them, Gideon, and he says, Vayomer Gideon, Lachain, therefore, b'teis Hashem ezevach v'tzalmuna b'yadi, when Hashem gives tzevach and tzalmuna in my hands, v'dashti es b'sarchem es kotze hamidbar v'es habarkanim. When Hashem gives over these kings, what kind of war exactly do you think I'm fighting? Is this for me? This is the war of Hashem. So, and Hashem is going to make us successful, and we will have Zevach and Salmuna, and when we come back, we are going to punish you, we are going to take your skin, and we are going to take the thorns of the Midbar, and we're going to crush you with these thorns. He's not going to waste time on it now, but when he finishes the fight, he will be back. He tries again, Pasuk Ches, verse 8, Vaya'al Misham Penuel, he goes to the city of Penuel, Vayidaber Aleim Kozais, and he asks for the same thing, Vayanu Asai Anche Penuel, Kasher Anu Anche Sukkos. And the people of Penuel answer him in the same way as the people of Sukkos, and he doesn't get bread. And we're going to see that Penuel is even worse than Sukkos. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Vayomer gam la'anshei Penuel lemar, and he says to the people of Penuel, saying, Bishuvi bishalom, when I get back in peace, et toitz es hamigdal hazeh, I will break down your tower. So what we see here is that Penuel has a tower to protect them, and yet they still couldn't bring themselves to help the army of Gideon. So you have even less of a reason to be scared from the people, and you're not going to help us. When I come back, this tower will not be there. Without the help of Sukkos, without the help of Penuel, he goes to the camp where Zebach and Salmuna are. It's a place where 15,000 B'nai Kedem are there. They are survivors. 120,000 men of the army have already been killed, but there's 15,000 left, and Zebach and Salmuna, the kings of Midian, are hiding there. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Vayanusu Zebach v'Tzalmuna vayirdof achareihem. Zebach and Salmuna had escaped, and he ran after them. Vayolkod eshnei malchei Midian es Zebach v'Tzalmuna v'chol hamachaneh hecharid. He scared the whole camp so that they weren't able to protect their kings, the two kings, Zebach and Salmuna, and he brings them along with him, and he's going back to Sukkot in Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. Vayashav Gideon ben Yoash min hamelchama. Gideon ben Yoash comes back from the war. The question is why he's called here Gideon ben Yoash. Why do I need to have his father's name? And it could be because it's explaining to us, to me and to you, how could they mock Gideon? How could they not have helped him? Is because they're still looking at him like, you're a nobody from a nobody family. You're Gideon, the son of Yoash. He is now about to undo this, because in Pasuk Yudalit, verse 14, Vayukad na'ar me'anshe sukkas, and he captures a boy from the people of sukkas, v'isha'a lehu, and he asks him a question. He says, I need your help. I need you to write something down for me. Who are the important people of your city? And this boy does. Vayichtov elav es sare sukkas v'es sekeineha shivim v'shiva ish. And he's able to write down for him, this lad, this boy, 77 of the leaders of Sukkos. We find such interesting historical information as a by the way in the Navi, because here we see that at a time where presumably the vast majority of people are illiterate amongst the Jewish nation, he finds a random na'ar and he's asking him to write down the names of the leaders, and he's able to do it. And also that he's able to identify the 77 leaders tells us that there's a well-established system of government going on here, and everybody knew who the leaders are. And if we think about the time frame where this is happening, thousands of years ago, it's astonishing to see the level of sophistication and intelligence amongst the Jewish people. Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, Vayovel el anshei sukkas, and he comes to the people of Sukkos, and he says to them, Hine Zevach v'Tzalmuna, here they are, Zevach and Tzalmuna, asher chiraftem oisi lemar, you mocked me and embarrassed me, saying, Hakaf Zevach v'Tzalmuna atabi yadacha kinitan la'anoshecha hayifim lechem. You didn't want to give my weak and tired people bread because you said, really, you have Zevach v'Tzalmuna? Here they are. And he stresses, they're just tired men, your brothers. And he punishes them in Pasuk Tesayin, verse 16, Ve'yikacha zikne ha'ir, and he takes the elders of the city, ve'es kotze ha'midbar ve'es ha'barkanim, and he takes the thorns, and ve'yoda bahem es anshe sukkos, and he makes known to them the anshe sukkos. He punishes them with the thorns. It's unclear what the Zakenim are doing there. According to some, he has the Zakenim actually administering the punishment to the people who refuse to give the food, or he himself hits the Zakenim, and then he goes on to Penuel. And in Pasuk Yudzayin, Ves Migdal Penuel Natatz, he breaks down the tower of Penuel, Vayaharog Es Anshei Ha'ir, and he kills all the people of the city. And as we see, they had nothing to be scared of. Their punishment is going to be worse. Why does he kill the people? Perhaps they were trying to fight back when he was trying to break down the tower. And now we have another side story going on here. Pasuk Yudches, verse 18. Vayomer el Zevach ve'el Tzalmuna. He talks to these two kings now, and he says, Eifo ha'anashim asher haragtem b'tavar. I sent people to Har Tavar, to Tavar. I mentioned a few days ago that Yisachar doesn't come and join in this fight. The Mefarshim say that Har Tavar is on the border of Yisachar, and it could be that these people were killed on their way to try and get Yisachar to actually come and join the fight. And he says to them, I had people in Tavar. Where are the people that you killed? Vayomru, and they said, Zevach and Salmunar answering Gedon, and they said, Kamocha, Kamohem, Echad. They are like you. Perhaps you should be dead like they are. But they are like you, Kisayar B'nei HaMelech. They looked like the leader's family. The people that we killed in Tavar, they looked like you. And Gidon acknowledges, and he says in Pasuk Yates, Vayomar Achai B'nei Imihem. Those people that you killed were my brothers, the children of my mother. Chai Hashem, I swear to you, Lu Hachiyisem Aysem Leharagti Eschem. He says, I don't really have to kill you. You're not from the seven nations that we have an obligation to kill out. I wouldn't have killed you had you not killed them, but now I do have to avenge their death. Vayomer le Yeser b'choro, and he says to Yeser, his oldest son, Kum harogosam, get up and kill them. Perhaps he was trying to prove that this is a situation. We have a halacha, we have a law in the Torah, that if somebody kills someone, then there is a situation where a family member of the murdered person can redeem their blood by killing them. So he was trying to show, by asking his son to kill them, that I'm killing you because you killed my family. But his older son was scared. V'lo shalaf ha'na'ar charbo. He was still young. Ki yorei ki odenu na'ar. He was scared to do it. He was still a boy. And so Gidon comes and he kills them. We speak about this, actually, this death of these people, of this war. This war in Sefer Shoftim is a war that's mentioned in Sefer Tehillim. Shisemo nedivemo ka'orev ukazev ukazevach ukatzamuna kol nesichemo. We ask Hashem, like you killed Orev and Ze'ev, like you killed Zevach and Talmuna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please take care of all the important people from our enemies who have plots and plans to kill us. We should be able to get rid of them, or you should be able, please Hashem, you get rid of them like you got rid of these four very, very scary individuals who threatened the Jewish nation. When he kills Zevach and Salmuna, we have just a little detail. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21, V'yikach es ha-saharonim asher b'tzavareg malehim. He takes off the decorations from their horses, from their camels, in order to make himself some sort of memorial. In Pasuk Chaf Beis, in verse 22, the Jews were very happy with Gedon at this point. He saved them, external enemy. He was a good internal politician, as we see. And they asked him, won't you begin a dynasty? Why do we have to go from Shofet to Shofet to Shofet? How about you become our leader and your children continue? Vayomru ish Yisrael el Gidon. Sounds like a consensus from all the Jewish people. Mishal banu gamata gam mincha gam ben mincha. Rule us, you, your son, your grandson, ki hoshatanu Midyan. You saved us from Midyan. And we see that on one hand, the consistency and continuity possibly could have been helpful. There wouldn't have been years in between to give opportunity for everything to start going wrong again. On the other hand, the great danger that may have occurred is that one of his descendants might have been evil, as we're going to see exactly happened in the next parak. The way the system was now, everyone who becomes a shofet was in some way appointed by Hashem, and therefore they were eligible for this rulership. Up until the time that Hashem is going to anoint David and say, you are my dynasty, there is no room for dynasty. And in Pasuk of Gimel 23, he says, Vayomer Aleim Gidon, Lo Amshal Ani Bachem, Velo Yimshal Bini Bachem, I'm not going to rule you, my son is not going to rule you, but what? Hashem Yimshal Bachem. Hashem is going to rule you. That's the ideal. And whoever he appoints is going to be the next Shofet. And it's in this context that we have to try and understand what happens next. Because it can't be that a Gidon, who is such an Anav, is going to do something deliberate that's going to make the Jews serve Avodah Zarah. So we have to understand that it was something that he didn't understand was going to happen. Gideon asked the Jews to donate the nose rings that they got, which is a tiny part of the spoil, right? It's like the smallest piece of jewelry out of all the spoil that he gets. And he says to his soldiers, just give me the nose rings. And he melts them all and he turns these nose rings into a golden ephod, a golden vest. It's when we can imagine that from tiny nose rings he could make a vest, we can start to picture the huge amount of jewels of gold that they were able to get from this battle. Pasuk Chaf Zayin 27, Vayas Aso Gidon the ephod, he takes these golds and he makes it into an ephod, into a vest. Vayatzeg Oso Be'iro Be'ofra, and he puts it up in his city in Ophrah, which was perhaps the mistake, meaning don't put it in your hometown. Maybe if you're going to make it, put it into Shiloh. Now we could understand again that he made it in order to, that the Jews should remember the great victory and to thank Hashem for the great victory. But unfortunately what happens is, Vayiznu Kol Yisrael Acharav Sham. And instead of turning it into a symbol of thank you Hashem, they start to serve the symbol. And the Jewish nation turned this ephod into Avodah Zarah. Vayihi leGidon ulebeiso leMokesh, and it becomes a stumbling block for Gideon and his house. Gideon doesn't serve it, but perhaps his children do. And we'll see that his children are going to get punished in the next parak. In Pasuk Chavches, in verse 28, Vayikana Midyan lefnei b'nei Yisrael v'lo yasfu la'seis roshem. And the Midianim were quiet. They were totally vanquished before B'nai Israel, and they did not raise their head again. And Vatishko Ta'aret Arba'im Shana B'mei Gideon. The land was quiet, calm, and peaceful for 40 years in the time of Gideon. But then, another mistake. In Pasuk Chav Tes 29, Vayelech Yerubal ben Yoash Vayashev B'veso. And Yerubal, the great Yerubal, the one who started off his whole career by fighting the Baal, Gideon, the hero, the warrior, the one who believed totally and implicitly in Hashem, goes home. He didn't want to rule, but he should not have sat quietly in his house. He had to be proactive. He had to go out. He had to be Mechazek Klal Yisrael. He was given this mission. He should not have been sitting at home. We hear a little bit about his family. We'll meet them again in the next parak, Pasuk Lamed 30. V'legidon hayu shivim banim yotze yurechu. He had 70 sons. Ki nashim rabbi seyulai. The Pasuk tells us, yes, don't worry, he had many wives. Ultimately, all these 70 sons are going to be killed. Only one of them, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph 31, ufilaksho asher b'shchem yoda lo gam hi ben. And he had a pilegesh in Shechem, and she also gave birth to a son, Vayosem es Shemoi Avimelech. It's an interesting language. And he put his name, Avimelech, my father is the king. That's what it literally means. It seems like this son had a special quality to him, that he could be a leader, so he puts his name on him, meaning, I was the ruler, I am the ruler, and you are the one whose father is a ruler. It seems like it's not a birth name. It's unclear if Avimelech is the one who gives himself the name or Gideon gives himself the name. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayihi Kasher Meis Gideon, and when Gideon eventually dies, Vayeshuvu B'nei Yisrael, Vayiznu Acharei HaBa'alim. Whatever it was that Gideon had accomplished, unfortunately when he died, they go back after the idols and they start to serve Avodah Zarah. And they continue with the same lack of gratitude that we saw brought them to this very, very sad place. Pasuk Lamed Aleph 34, V'loy zachru b'nei Yisrael es Hashem elokeihem. They didn't remember Hashem hamatzil oisam miyad kol oyveihem misaviv. Yes, 40 years is a long time. Yes, 40 years is two generations. But really, Hashem just saved you from your enemies from around. And not only that, in Pasuk Lamed Hey, and perhaps this is the source of the lack of gratitude to Hashem, is that they had a lack of gratitude also to Gideon. V'lo asu chesed in b'nei Yerubal Gideon, and they didn't do chesed to the house of Yerubal, who was Gideon, k'chol hatova asher asa im Yisrael. They didn't repay him properly for all the good that he did for Yisrael. And so again, we see the beginning of the negative cycle. that has happened already so many times. Thank you for learning in memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Shenker, Rachel Friedman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Aleihem HaShalom, Neshos Chayil, who lived with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasodim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the families of Klal Yisrael. Nina and Chaim Shenker.